prophecy fulfilled right before our eyes, signs that Jesus is coming soon. We're looking at the proliferation of cults and how one of the signs that Jesus spoke of, in fact, he repeated and said it twice, was in the last days, the false teachers and false prophets. And so tonight, we continue that. We took a very deep look at the cult known as the Mormon Church last Wednesday night. We examined their history, their beliefs. And when you look at the men in the history behind the church, when you look at the real history of Joseph Smith, when you look at the actual events and things that happened under the leadership of Brigham Young, you look at the terrible deeds that were done, the dishonesty, the just terrible things, and then as well as just all the crazy stories that Joseph Smith gave, alleging how all those came about with the magic golden tablets and the magic glasses and the angel Moroni and all this stuff. And you go, who in the world could be so easily deceived by that nonsense? But people are deceived by it. It's no wonder Jesus warned Matthew 24:4, take heed that no one deceives you. And later in that same chapter, verse 11, he says, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. That means a lot of folks are going to get deceived. It says it will deceive many. Many are going to be deceived. Deception, I believe, occurs because folks don't know the Word of God. They're not grounded in the Bible. They don't have that foundation of the eternal truths of God. And because they're not saved, if they're not saved, they don't know Christ, then they don't have the witness of the Holy Spirit in them to guide them and give them an understanding of eternal truths. Jesus understood that the power of deception in the last days would be so strong that even some Christian believers, referenced as the elect, is what it says in the Bible, would be deceived. In Matthew 24:24, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. That means folks that are come to the knowledge of Christ, that the elect, the ones that are on their way to heaven, are subject to being deceived according to the Word of God. And from my standpoint, the evidence is all around us about the deception of false prophets and false teachers. And you can sadly see it in a lot of the ministry and ministers of modern churches in America today, because they've begun to embrace ideals that are great sounding and really pleasing to the congregation, but in many instances they represent an apostasy and they represent an embrace of deceptive teachings and things that are false, that are totally inaccurate with regard to the Word of the Bible, the Word of God. Who remembers Hal Lindsey in his book, The Late Great Planet Earth? That was published in 1970. In that book, listen to these words he wrote. This is in 1970. He said, in the institutional church, with increasing frequency, the leadership of the denominations will be captured by those who completely reject the historic truths of the Bible. That's quite a prophecy, isn't it? The leadership of the church, of the denominations in America, will be they'll completely reject the historic truths of the Bible. And he goes on to say, and deny doctrines which, according to Christ himself, are crucial to believe in order to be a Christian. He goes on, he continues, he says, as ministers depart from the truths of the Bible, they lose authority and power that has met real human needs. How true is that? Once we begin to drift away from the truth of the Bible, he's saying then that in the church, in the ministry, in the pastors of the church, once they move away from those eternal truths of the Bible, they lose the authority and the power, which is the authority and the power of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. They lose that which is needed to truly meet human needs. We know that the power of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit today still meet human needs. They reach down and touch hearts and bring the miracle of salvation and help to those in need. So without really the leading and the power of the Holy Spirit in the embrace of the inerrant Word of God, many churches and their leaders become dead spiritually. And you see that all over America. And members of those churches, or former members of those churches that become really dead spiritually, they're the ideal recruits for the cults looking for new members to come be a part of that. They're right because they don't have that foundation that should be taught in their churches by the pastors. So we examine another cult tonight. We're going to look at a couple of them. We're going to begin with one that you're all very familiar with, Jehovah's Witness. This cult began by a man named Charles Russell, or commonly known as Pastor Russell by his followers. He began his walk with Christ as a member of a Seventh-day Adventist church, but he left because he disagreed with their teaching on the atonement. They teach the atonement much like we believe, that it was Christ's blood atoned for sins on the cross, and he disagreed with that. He later launched a magazine I know you're familiar with. It's called Zion's Watchtower and Herald of Christ's Presence. He later changed it to its final name back in 1896, called the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. And we've all probably seen examples of that over the years. This guy, Charles Russell, was an incredibly egotistical man. He was never ordained at all, but he allowed his followers to put him in the same class as great spiritual leaders like Martin Luther, as the leader of St. Paul in the New Testament, as the great man of God, Wycliffe. He allowed them to put him in that same class, which was not the case at all. His wife successfully sued him for divorce in 1913. She sued him for divorce on the grounds of adultery, conceit, egotism, and domination. That's quite a combination, isn't it? He was later charged with fraud. Now, this is a guy that started this cult. You see a pattern with the same kind of stuff we saw in Joseph Smith, the same kind of nonsense we saw in Brigham Young. Here's this guy, Charles Russell. He's charged with fraud regarding the misuse of finances of the tract society that he put together. And he later even perjured himself in court. Well, today, the Jehovah's Witness religion and cult, they attempt to disclaim any connection to Charles Russell because of that colorful background. They can disclaim it, and they attempt to disclaim it, but yet all of their doctrines, all of Jehovah's Witness teachings, are the very same teachings that started with Charles Russell. He's the founder, whether they want to admit it or not. Overall, Jehovah's Witnesses place reason. They place intellect and reason above the teachings of the Bible, and they reject anything in Scripture that they would claim is beyond man's understanding. Though they claim the Bible is the final authority. They say that, but they're just going through the motions when they say that. They claim the Bible is the final authority, but their real authority is what we would refer to as their official system of doctrine and beliefs. They have official system. So no matter what the Bible may say or what you may read in the Bible, they're going to tell you the official system of doctrine and beliefs is the only real answer. Because they claim that the leadership of Jehovah's Witness, that those witnesses are infallible interpreters of the Bible. How's that? Infallible interpreters of the Bible. They cannot make a mistake. Whatever they think it says, that's the way it is. And that's what they teach their congregants to believe. They actually have their own translation of the Bible, where they've gone through it themselves, all of the Bible, and that new translation, that's their translation, is called the New World Translation. By the way, throughout that Bible, it always uses the name Jehovah for God. I want to challenge you tonight, depending on what edition of the Bibles you may have, but you look through your Bibles, if you have a King James or New King James specifically, you look through your Bibles and see if you can ever find the word Jehovah in your Bible. And let me know if you do. Would you do that? All right. they reject the concept of the Trinity, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. In fact, they claim that Satan is the originator of that concept. Can you imagine? They deny the deity of the Holy Spirit. They refer to the Holy Spirit as an it, not a person. The Bible is totally contrary to that belief. The Bible clearly shows the Holy Spirit is a person, not an it. They minimize Christ's redemptive work on the cross. They teach, just like the Mormons, they teach that Christ's death was only a partial atonement. It was for past sins only. And that man is in position to work out his own salvation. Therefore, it becomes a works-based religion. So, yes, your sins were atoned for as Jesus died on the cross for sins in the past, but now going forward, everything is works-based. It's all the rules. It's following all the right stuff and doing the right thing and being good enough. It's a works system where you earn your way to heaven, just like the Mormon church does. They do not believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. They claim that Jesus was raised as a spirit, and get this, his body that was in the grave just dissolved into gases. I'm not sure whether they got that out of the Word of God, but that's part of their official teachings. They teach that Christ's second coming has already happened. Did y'all know that? We missed it. That's what they teach. The second coming of Christ has already happened. In fact, it took place in three stages. So I want to tell y'all what you missed, that Jesus has already come in three stages, according to what they teach. It began in 1874. Jesus came to the upper air, they claim, and later got caught up with the apostles and the 144,000 and took them into heaven. And that was in 1874. Then it came, the second stage occurred in 1914. And Jesus ended, when he came in 1914, he ended the time of the Gentiles. And he began to reign on earth. Did you know that Jesus began to reign on earth in 1914? Didn't realize that. Then in 1918, he came to the spiritual temple. And he began the judgment of the nations. So the judgment of the nations has already begun. They believe that all of that occurred is part of the three stages of Christ's return. I suspect if you went back and looked at the history of their writings, they claim that because they probably made some declaration that they knew what the return of Christ was going to be. It was going to be in 1874. Of course, it didn't happen. So then they said, well, you know, he came, but not everybody realized it. And then they said, he's coming in 1914. And of course, that didn't quite happen. They said, well, he came, but, you know, it was just the end of the Gentiles' time. And then they said, well, he came in 1918. Well, that didn't happen. So they made up some, you know, theological reasoning behind it. So it's probably all that is just a bunch of way to cover up all of their errant predictions about Christ. So now they say he's already come. In fact, we're already in we're just waiting now for the millennial reign. And we're waiting, by the way, any day now, the battle of Armageddon is going to take place. And because Jesus has already come back, so we don't even have to wait for the return of Christ because the battle of Armageddon is going to occur. And of course, God is going to leave only, he's going to lead only the Jehovah's Witnesses to victory, you understand. Only the faithful Jehovah's Witnesses will escape death on the earth in the great battle of Armageddon. Everybody else is going to die. That means you and me, we're not going to make it. They believe folks, though, listen to this, they believe everybody is going to get a second chance once the official millennium takes place. Everybody gets another chance, no matter what, once the millennial takes place. And to believe, all they got to do is believe and obey Jehovah. So it's kind of like, you know, in golf, you golfers understand what a mulligan is. Mulligan is you get up to hit the ball and you make a terrible shot and you get a do-over. Okay, I messed that one up, and so I get a second chance. Well, they sort of like give all of the whole world a mulligan, saying that if you died and you didn't know Christ, it's okay. You're going to get another chance. You're going to get a do-over. They emphatically deny the concept of hell. They claim that hell, or Sheol and Hades, only means the grave. It does not mean hell. They do not believe in eternal punishment or painful hereafter, burning in a lake of fire. They totally reject that. Totally reject it. They are known for their negative views on blood transfusion. Y'all are familiar with that. And their negative views on human government. For example, they believe that transfusion is wrong for us and for them in their bodies. And the scriptural basis for that is found in Leviticus. If you remember in Leviticus, the Word of God says that the Israelites should refrain from eating and drinking blood. It's one of the rules of the law that God gave to his children, that they are to refrain from eating and drinking blood. So they look upon transfusion as being in the same category as if they were drinking or eating blood, because you're taking it through your veins, you're just not taking it through your mouth. So that's why it's wrong. So now you know why they don't believe in transfusion. They believe that it is idol worship for us to say the Pledge of Allegiance or salute the flag. They consider that idol worship because they think that there should never be allegiance by a Christian to any government whatsoever except Jehovah's government. Okay? That's all. Jehovah's Witnesses are not allowed to think independently about anything in the Word of God. They're not allowed to use any Bible except the Jehovah's Witness translation, the New World Translation. By the way, it's full of errors and distortion compared to the Word of God. So as we look at this cult, in summary, Jehovah's Witness, it's a cult. They use Christ, God, and the Holy Spirit in their teachings. So it sounds real good because they use all three of them in their teachings. But it's distorted. It's distorted falsehoods that denied the efficacy of the cross, that denied the efficacy of the shed blood of Jesus and the blood's power to save. They deny those things. It's a cult, and yet millions of people are deceived by the Jehovah's Witnesses teaching. Gullible people. So we're going to look at another one tonight, and that's Christian Science. Anybody familiar with Christian Science? A little bit? This cult was founded upon the teachings of another person by the name of Mary Baker Eddy. You've heard of that name, Mary Baker Eddy? This lady, Mary Baker, was born in 1821, and she was born as part of a very strict Congregationalist church. But her youth was marred by various illnesses and a serious spinal problem. In 1843, though, she married a businessman named George Washington Glover, but he died of yellow fever in 1844. But when he died, she was carrying their child. So their little boy, a son, was born shortly after her husband had died. Well, this boy, after he was born, was practically abandoned by her, by Mary Baker, practically abandoned him, sent him off to school and to live with relatives. In 1853, 10 years later, excuse me, she married a dentist by the name of Daniel Patterson. And 13 years later, he left her. In 1873, she finally divorced him. See, she divorced her second husband. She still had trouble in her physical body by her spinal illness. So she went to Portland, Maine to be healed of this condition, this spinal condition, so she could be healed by the so-called Dr. Phineas Parkhurst Quimby. This Dr. Parkhurst Quimby was a student of a French hypnotist by the name of Poyen. And he taught this system of mental healing called the science of health. It was all about the mind. Well, Mary Baker Eddy, she later wrote in her book in 1875 that this fellow Quimby's teachings, infused with religion, should be a whole new way of thinking about faith and God, and she created a new cult, or a new religion, as she called it, called Science and Health. Science and Health was what she was going to focus on because they all came together. It was a name that was later changed to a Christian Science Association, and then finally changed officially Church of Christ Scientist. At one point, this lady had claimed that she had been healed by this incredible miracle that a doctor had said that she was going to die in just 3 days. She picked up the Bible and read Matthew 9 and 2, and she was immediately healed, and that it was confirmed by Dr. C.J. Eastman. However, it was later found that this fellow, Dr. C.J. Eastman, was a complete fraud, that he had no medical credentials at all. He was running an illegal medical college, and he later spent 10 years in prison for fraud. But here was the guy she was going to use to confirm that God had miraculously healed her, that indeed she was about to die in 3 days. It was all fraudulent. Her claim was fraudulent. It was all fraudulent. It was done to bring great attention to her so that more people would come and follow her teachings of mental science health. In 1877, when she was 56 years old, she married for a third time. And she married a fellow that was a sewing machine salesman named Asa Eddy. And she took on the name Mary Baker Eddy, which is what we know her of today. She moved to Boston. And in Boston, because of her teachings and gathering folks together, many churches were founded. And by 1900, the Church of Christ Scientists had 200,000 members. That's a pretty good number back in those days. Many, many followers of Mary Baker Eddy regarded her as an equal and successor to Jesus Christ. Yes. And she welcomed that, by the way. She welcomed that. In fact, she not only welcomed it, she began to make those claims herself. Didn't Jesus say there'd be false Christ in the last days? She's a good example of that. I don't think you're going to be surprised by the next thing I tell you, but she amassed a vast fortune as a result of her religious teachings and activities. You see, she required all the churches of the Church of Christ Science, she required all the churches and all the members to buy her book and all the additional booklets that she published. They were required to buy them in order to be in good standing and the churches to be part of her fellowship. So she received massive amounts of money with these thousands and thousands of people buying her book and booklets. She died in 1910 at the age of 89, and her personal fortune in 1910 was over $3 million. And that's a massive amount of money in 1910. It's a lot of money today. But all of that money had come through her religious ministry activities. Does that sound familiar? Does that still happen today? Absolutely. And we're going to be looking at that in some later sermons on this series. When she died with over $3 million in assets, not one penny of it went to any charity or any other organization. That's pretty sad. Her book, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, is presented as the only correct interpretation of the Bible. It's just like the Jehovah's Witness saying, they've got the only correct interpretation. Well, her book, Science and Health with Key to Scriptures, is the only correct interpretation of the Bible. And the Christian Science Church claims to be the only true church. That's another familiar theme we see in these other cults that we're looking at. Incredibly, this cult actually repudiates every cardinal doctrine of the Bible. Listen to this for just a minute. They deny the Trinity. They deny the deity of Christ. They indicate that God does have a mind. He and also look at God as the mind. In other words, like he's not anything but a mind, I guess that's what I'm trying to say. God is a mind. So until you really understand that, you really know who God is a mind. Then they go on and teach that God is principle. God is life. God is intelligence. He is spirit. He is substance. He is mother. That's what they teach. Yeah. They indicate and believe that the Holy Spirit is Christian Science itself. In other words, when Jesus gave the promise of the Holy Spirit, he was talking about Christian Science, their religion. That's the Holy Spirit. They believe that angels are merely thoughts from God, from the mind of God. They believe that the virgin birth was just a spiritual idea of Mary. They believe that Mary, as a young woman, just had this spiritual ideal, and in this spiritual ideal, she gave birth to Jesus and gave her baby the name Jesus. It was just a spiritual ideal. It wasn't a true miracle, okay? They believe that Mary Baker Eddy, again, we said this earlier, was equal to and the successor to Jesus Christ. They believe that sin, disease, and death are simply illusions of the mortal mind. Let that just sink in for a minute. Everything that might hurt or is wrong with you tonight is just because it's an illusion of your mortal mind. They deny the doctrine of atonement, that the blood does not cleanse and that the blood does not save. They deny the bodily resurrection of Jesus. They believe that God is all, that again, God is mind, therefore mind is all. How do you like that reasoning? God is all, God is mind, that means mind is all. Let that just sink in. I'm sure that's making a lot of sense to you tonight, isn't it? They believe that man is not, listen to this, man is not in a fallen state, that man is incapable of sin. Yeah. Therefore, it doesn't surprise you when you hear the next precept, because they believe that man has no need of a Savior, that salvation consists of mental deliverance from error. You got it? You just got to get your mental deliverance from error and you have salvation. They actually discourage prayer to a personal God. They discourage that folks should never plead with God, because God is not ever influenced by man. Christian Science claimed many, many instances of miraculous healings because people just got their mind right, you see. They like to invite folks to their reading rooms. You ever heard of a Christian Science reading room? Most of their churches have reading rooms. They like people to come because that's where they get their mind right, in the reading rooms, and read the literature, read all their media stuff, and you sit there, and that's how you get your mind right, and you get healed, and everything's great. It has a moral teaching, in a sense. The Christian Science Church has a moral teaching, so it gives this illusion or this veneer of it's good, and God's involved, and it's a great thing. The biographies, however, of Mary Baker Eddy, her real life revealed that her life and her practices and everything she actually did contradicted the teachings that she promoted, and the church has done all it can to suppress it. She would talk about being healed and give testimonies and write books about being healed and secretly going to the doctor for the sickness or the disease that she claimed she'd been healed from. That's just one example of many things in her life that was inconsistent with what she was trying to do as the leader of this church. What she was doing is what a lot of folks are doing even today. They're using Christ and God to promote themselves, to become important, and to become rich. And I will tell you, it is happening today. It's happening more than you can imagine. And if you look at, I personally have a great problem in seeing folks in ministry, as leaders of churches or Christian ministry, in which they amass incredible personal wealth from either their ministry or the books they write regarding ministry. And as a result of that, they become very, very wealthy. To me, that's just trying to sell the gospel. And I just don't think that is pleasing to God at all. This lady, Mary Baker Eddy, was a con artist. She made this fortune, a fortune, by all this ridiculous con, seducing folks with claims of miracles and the promise of their own healing. And people want to be healed. They're sick. They're looking for answers. They don't have the foundation. They don't have the Word of God in them. And so somebody comes along and they use God and Christ in their language, and all of a sudden people are sucked in and they follow these lies and this deceit. Somebody claiming to be the successor to Jesus. Well, the church, the Christian Science Church, it grew steadily in the early 1900s. I mean, it was a really growing, expanding church, but that pretty much leveled off in the early 1950s, and then began to decline. Today, it's estimated because they do not publish any actual numbers of membership in any of their churches, but it's estimated today there's roughly 150,000 members of the Christian Science Church in America today. There's some in our area, by the way. I don't know if you're familiar with that. There's three in Dallas. There's one in Garland. There's one in Plano. There's one in Richardson. There's not one in McKinney. There's one in Dallas on Northwest Highway, just west of the toll road. It's in a neighborhood like where Mark Cuban and other millionaires live. Yeah. And it's right on Northwest Highway, a little bit west of the toll road. It's an incredibly expensive piece of property. It's a fairly modern-looking structure, and it's been there for many years. I remember seeing that for many years. It's a cult. It's deception. It's lies. It's from the pit of hell. It is fulfilling exactly what Jesus in his words in Matthew 24 told us we would see in the last days. And it's been happening and continues to happen right before our eyes. So we will continue to look at this subject matter, the prophecies of Christ being fulfilled in the last days right before our eyes. There's some more occults we're going to look at next Wednesday night. And then from there, we're also going to look at the false prophets and false teachers that are on the airways of TV and radio today. And I mentioned earlier, some of y'all might get mad at me, but I feel like I must speak the truth on these matters. And I do not personally attack any person specifically just for the purpose of attacking them or criticizing them. I will simply point out what they've taught and what they've said, and how does that square up with the Word of God, okay? Everybody all right with that? We'll continue with that. Let's pray here this evening. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Father, we can never understand anything in this world without your Word and the leading of the Holy Spirit. God, we understand the powerful deception that is in the world. Father, I just pray, give us the wisdom and understanding to embrace your word and to have this foundation in our minds and hearts and to stand on that word and to teach it in love and understanding to those that need Christ as their Lord and Savior. Father, give us a heart for those that are caught up, that are lost in these cults, that need Christ. Let us look upon them with a tender, loving compassion and prayer that somehow the Holy Spirit would break through and they would fully understand the truth of who Christ is and who you are, Father. Guide us in all these things. Lead us and give understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.